Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe, and welcome to another Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the KOA Army share their thoughts on all things town. If you're listening on audio, welcome as always, but if you're listening on video, I got a bit surprised by one of our guests, James, who got some fireworks up on his screen, which I'll have to ask him how he did that, and obviously on effect. Let's bring him in, actually. Why not? We're joined by James and Ben Diath, discuss all things town. And we're live once again on all platforms. So if you're listening on a different day, then make sure to join us live every Friday night. Friday night live here with KOA. But James, my friend, come in all the way from New York City. It's Friday night for us, but it's Friday afternoon in the Big Apple. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Ross, thanks for having me on. And yeah, doing very well. It's still light outside, unlike most of the UK, I presume. It's dark out there by now. New York's treating me very well. It's my 1 year anniversary coming up on Sunday. And I'm celebrating by running the New York City Half Marathon. So very excited to be on. It's been a little while since I've been on the Fan Social. And to answer your question about the celebration fireworks, I have no idea how I did it. I did put my two thumbs up, so I'm wondering if I do that again, if it happens again. Yeah, there we go.
Why did it happen to me?
So clearly some AI technology is going on the way we do this these days. So that will obviously recognise my thumbs.
I like that. I really like that. That's really good. But welcome back, my friend. And it's great to have you all the way from New York. Of course, we're worldwide, KOA. We're massive and all that. And we're joined by Ben Diath in good old Cambridgeshire. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, not as glamorous as James coming all the way from the other side of the Atlantic. But no, I'm very well. Thank you, Ross. Another week. It's very exciting to do the Fans Social at the end of the week on a Friday night, just before, obviously, game day tomorrow. Very excited for the home game of it against Sheffield Wednesday, which I know we'll talk about later. But no, I've had a very nice week. Everything is in order in the Diath household. Looking forward to spending some time with you, fine fellows.
Love it, my friend. Love it. We've got a few messages here. One from David. He said, "Hi, guys, and a good evening to you all," which is good. Hello to everyone in York. I think he's from York. I think he's saying he's in York. So, my friend, hope you're having a good time. We've also got Callie. Evening, lads. What legends we have. Oh, and Ross too. Thanks, Callie. But no, the boys.
Cheers, Callie.
Yes. We're recording this podcast, as I said, on Friday, which is a new thing for us, live on all platforms. And obviously, we've had a week. You know, everyone's had their working week. You know, weekend to look forward to with Town in action against Sheffield Wednesday. But we want to reflect on the defeat. Obviously, Town were 6 wins in a row going to Cardiff. And, of course, the late drama that was there. Of course, we scored a late goal. And then they go and score 2 late goals to Bluebirds. And I want to get the boys just their reflection. They've had a good 5 days or so to reflect on it. James, my standard wording, my one word feature. What is the one word you're going to use to reflect on that? David actually is watching from Dublin. So up the Irish KOA Army, love that. And Mark Wall is also gone. Evening, guys. So good evening to you, Mark. But James, your one word, my friend.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this, and I was kind of thinking about my emotions immediately after the game, and then in the reflection in the week afterwards. And I think my one word is deserved. It is a bit of a shame to have to say that, but I just felt like we had an absolutely horrendous injury time where we looked like we couldn't play football anymore, and the preceding 90 minutes was better than that, but it wasn't significantly better. We've played some very good and entertaining football this season, especially at home, but away from home we've put together a number of quite impressive professional performances. But last Saturday, I just thought we came up a bit short. We were a little fortunate to be 1-0 up, I think, going into injury time. And it was not the worst performance of the season, but it was by far from the best. Like, if you take a performance like the second half of Plymouth away the week before, and you compare it to most of the 90 minutes against Cardiff, I would say that the Plymouth was far better than what we had against Cardiff. So I felt like we almost deserved to lose, maybe, but like we didn't really do enough to win. So deserves is my word, which is a bit disappointing. I know we can play a lot better than what we did, and that's why I feel like I'm being maybe a little bit critical of the side, but we can play a lot better than what we did last Saturday.
Love to hear it. And we've got the Sweet Rice Prince joining us, Harvey Davis, saying even chaps us. I don't know if he's got a little emoji there, but I know
it's an American flag.
Oh yes, it would be, yeah, because it's just the emoji. It's just not come up on the Facebooks. So but yeah, good to see you, Harvey. I know you're now in Ipswich. You're currently having a bit of wonder, maybe just in a hotel room chilling, watching us. So I hope you enjoy, my friend. Ben, what is your one word review of the defeat at Cardiff? Only our fifth league defeat, boys, in the championship, which is mental. Mark Wall's gone knackered. David's gone shattered, underwhelming. Yeah. What's your thoughts?
Knackered, shattered. It felt like it really mattered when that goal went in. I put deflating because that is how it felt. I was very deflated. I was actually watching the game in Ipswich, even though, as we've covered, I reside in Cambridgeshire. My dad and my brother and I did the stadium tour, which was really, really excellent to do. Little bit of after the Lord's Mayor show. It did pick us up because we went after the game. But yeah, it was a deflating injury time. You could see it happening, as James was saying, and I agree with James from a point of view that we didn't deserve, in a way of like, yes, we didn't deserve to lose the game, but I think when you're chasing automatic promotion, I always expect, you know, if I was just looking at this from a neutral point of view, you expect a certain sort of performance from a team in that position. So if you're just taking my Ipswich hat off, which it's very difficult to do, and often seeing the game through through blue shaded glasses, we didn't do enough to probably warrant, you know, the result that we were looking for. It's tricky away from home. Cardiff in good form. It was a tricky game. I'm certainly not writing us off at all for the end of the season, but it was deflating, a bitter pill to swallow, all those sort of things. But this squad has turned so many corners around, kept surprising us all the time. So I'm not rolling out us bouncing back at all on Saturday and going on another run. But yeah, it did feel a bit crap, didn't it, on Saturday about 2:30.
I feel like we've had a number of performances where we've not been like really good throughout the 90 minutes. And I think that might be like where some of the criticism from like the external sources comes from, about like, are we a team that's really show it plays like a team that is automatic promotion worthy? Like you see Leeds most weeks and they seem quite effective. Whereas I feel we could play quite a few like first halves of football, especially where if you didn't know about us, you'd think, yeah, probably upper mid-table side at best. Whereas like our results and our tenacity is what really is unique about us, and that is like bringing us more maybe some of the performances deserve. And there's more than one way to skin a cat in getting 3 points of a football match, and we seem to have struck the right balance on finishing games very strongly. But that was just a thought I had in a week about like sometimes our performances don't always match the results, but that's just because we're great with substitutions, we're great with coming on late in games and never giving up, which is a very admirable attribute to have. And I'm so glad we're the team that scores late goals more times than we concede late goals. And Saturday was just, unfortunately, we were on the other end of the stick.
Yeah, the late, late show in Cardiff. Andy's also saying, hello, chap. Sorry I'm late. Don't worry, Andy. Good to have you. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show. I know you always come and get involved in the commentary. It's good to see. Ben, I'm changing a bit of the conversation here, but it's linked up what you mentioned earlier about the stadium tour. I don't want you to give too much away because the club won't be happy if we're giving too much away, but a little bit insight. What do you get to see? What can you access?
Yeah, so you meet out the back of the Cobbold Stand before going into the Hall of Fame restaurant, and you get given your passes, and they sort of just talk you through what you can expect. So nice introduction. I must say the staff were excellent. I thought there was a young lad called Seb who was particularly impressive, really knew his stuff. And it was all lighthearted, and they let you try and show and take as many pictures as you could. Fantastic to be able to go pitch side, you know, as a fan who have only done that when I was mascot Craig Forrest. Back in 1994, that's the only time I've gone near the pitch or on the pitch before. So, that's fantastic to be able to see, you know, a little bit behind the scenes, what goes on in the downtime when the fans aren't there, sitting in the dugouts. Obviously, jokes about the trophy room and how that wouldn't take very long at Carrow Road. That sort of stuff's always fun. Nice replica of the 1961-62 League Championship trophy. Interestingly, one sneak preview that I will give away. In fact, I'm sure the club don't mind. Obviously, they won't. They probably won't even listen to this. Sorry, Russ. But they have to pay for the replica. And they said it was actually a lot more than probably what you'd expect. Bloody EFL, hey? But I'm sure it's well worth having, and lots of photos you can have with it. But it was just really nice to walk around the ground. As I said, a slice of history with our fantastic club. And as I said, it's just another reminder what a fantastic club we all support. And I would say it's well worth doing for any big Ipswich Town fan. It was about an hour and a half. Getting on for 2 hours. Just really, really good way to spend the afternoon, Ross.
Yeah, desperately after the defeat. And it's great to have that back, isn't it, James? Once again, I think this club, we've got that community feel back now where fans could have got that access to go into the stadium. And just obviously, even last, was it maybe 2 years ago now, where they've also redid the whole stadium, which of course looks fantastic now. And obviously, there's still work to be done. But you just feel like you've got the stadium back.
Yeah. To your point, Ben, on the league trophy, I know that you said it was expensive, but imagine if we'd won one top league in our whole club history and then they didn't even have a trophy. That would be somewhat disappointing. So I'm sure it's pretty priceless, even though it's probably expensive. But yeah, everything that's being done with like the community trust coming back, like connecting with the community, some of like the coffee mornings they have for like the older people or people with dementia, like that's all great stuff. I think they've got I think there's an awards dinner going on tonight. I don't think they stopped that, but yeah, it's just connecting with the club. Loads of ex-players come into every home game. Like they always seem to, the club seem to be inviting special guests, which is great to see. And like just fostering that community with like the past players, with the current fans and community, like it's all great to see. Yeah, I love it.
Love to see it. And I love to see the amount of viewers we've got right now. As this stands, and hopefully it doesn't jinx it, but we've got 141 people watching. So welcome to the show live. 142. There we go. Get involved in the comments, share your thoughts, let us know what you're up to. Obviously you're listening to us and watching us, but where you are right now, you know, whereabouts in the world you listen to, what you're drinking, what
you're eating. It's because me and Ben are on. That's the big draw to this podcast.
I'll say so. Big draws of that. Andy's gone. Cardiff game review. Disaster. Because it technically was a disaster because we were 1-0 up and cruising. And then we lost 2-1. But we'll move on from that game. Kelly's is right here. Everyone hit the like button. So hit the like button. So that gets us more, I don't know what's the word. More visible. Just
Exposure.
That could be the one. That could be the good word. Exposure.
Talking of exposure, manscaped.com. If you use the code KOA at checkout for 20% off all of your grooming needs.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Oh, James.
That's right, isn't it?
Start. Yeah, it is right. So, yeah.
Manscaped. I don't think we should be promoting exposure just because you've had your bits chopped. Well, not chopped, but like groomed. Grooms, yes. That's not the angle we're going for here. Just look after yourself, guys and girls.
No exposure below the waist, okay?
Callie's right here, though. It's algorithm is the YouTube word. Algorithm. That is the one we want. So there we go. What we've got here? Let's see. Andy's on the vodka and orange Fanta. So
sounds like he's in Cyprus. Sort of drink you drink when you're on holiday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe he is. Maybe he is.
Andy, if you're on holiday, let us know. Love that. Mark Gall here. Got to say, I was treated so well by to see as a guest of Ipswich Town after my M&D diagnosis. Mark, all the best to you, my friends. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us, and all the best, my friend. And yeah, great to hear the club supported you with that, which is good. So yeah, boys, big question now. And it is getting to that point now where cup finals, 9 cup finals to go and stuff like that. And Town, you know, flirting with the top two still up there. A point away from Leeds, 4 points away from Leicester. But the big question is, will Town finish in the top two? It's getting to that point now where you've got to ask those questions. On the main podcast, Heathy went, is it too early? We'll get onto that shortly. But James, are Town going to finish in the top two?
Yeah, that's the question we're all hoping for. And my answer is categorically, yes, we can finish in the top two. That doesn't mean we will, but I certainly believe we can finish in the top two. Last season in League One, and I know it's a different league, but it has definitely shown us what can be possible in the last 10 games of the season. I think we had slightly more than 10 games left of the season at this point last season. Again, going back, had the fairly big life milestone of moving across the Atlantic at exactly this point last year.
And don't talk about it much, do you? Christ.
No, never talk about it. But I never thought we were going to go up as top two at this point last year. So being in the position we're in now, I feel like we are definitely capable of doing it. Pressure does funny things to different teams. Just because Leeds have won 9 of the last 10 or whatever ridiculous run they've been on doesn't mean they won't lose the next three. A bit like Southampton went on that unbelievable run and then lost 3 in a row, and Leicester have lost 3 in a row. So I don't think it's all sewn up yet. It's still going to be tough. I still think the teams above us currently will win far more games than they drop points in. But I think we can do it. I think we've got the team spirit. We've got the tenacity, as I mentioned earlier. We've got the willpower and the belief. We play good enough football at a lot of times. And yeah, I'm surprisingly positive about our chances for once.
I like to hear it. David from Dublin, he said, no, we'll finish third. Ben, Diaf, get involved. Where are you thinking? 9 games to go. Can Town do it?
Well, James is right. We definitely can do it. I think our home form is absolutely vital. I think that's where we'll win or lose it. If we win all our home games and we're so strong at home, then I think we've got a bloody good chance because, like James said as well, Leeds are not going to win every single game. I mean, that'll be, and if they do, absolutely extraordinary and they deserve to go up. Like, you just have to put your hand up and say that you have been beaten by the better side. There's one way of looking at it that I see and think, God, aren't we unlucky to be in a promotion race with these amazing sides again, with the parachute payments and et cetera, et cetera. But again, maybe looking at it and thinking the rest of the league isn't as strong, you know, as maybe it is otherwise. Maybe people are picking up wins against the bottom half teams that they possibly wouldn't in other years. It's difficult to say. A bit like League One last year, you had 3 excellent teams that were way better than everybody else. This year, there looks like 4. But isn't it absolutely remarkable? But we're one of those 4. Who cares about the budgets? Who cares about the players and the run-ins, everything else? If we look after ourselves, we've got a hell of a chance of doing this. I mean, that's what I made myself feel better about Saturday when I was walking around that fantastic stadium, was we are having the most remarkable time as Ipswich Town fans for decades. And I think anybody who feels, you know, a little bit sad about a defeat or is questioning things about us in terms of league position and whether we can get automatic promotion, just enjoy the ride. You know, if we finish in the playoffs, then so what? Let's go and take those on with absolutely everything that we've done. The main concern about finishing in the top two is the goals that we concede. A bit like the Cardiff game and other games, Rotherham at home, Bristol City at home, we seem to just switch off in the wrong moments, but Jesus, we're so entertaining to watch. You can't have it always, and this is the way we play. So when pundits are saying that, you know, they can see too many goals for a team to get automatic promotion, the one particular pundit said that, well, you were wrong. It doesn't matter. We play different football. We're playing differently to everybody else in the division, and we've got the best value season ticket in the land, and I cannot wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, golden ticker right now. Over 150 people listen, 165 to be exact. So great to have you in. Of course, good old Bono's in with us, which is good to see. It's Ben and James, what a duo. And what a duo indeed to bring you the first Friday Night Live show, which is good.
Can I have a quick point just quickly on the top two again? On the main pod, if you haven't listened, go listen on the main pod. But there was a quick discussion about is it too early for Town to go up as top two? And I am of the firm belief that if you ever get a chance for promotion, you grab it with both hands and you run as fast as you can. There's none of this nonsense about going up before your time. We had so many years languishing in the championship where we were struggling for even a playoff finish. So I don't think we know how lucky we have it this season to be mixing with the teams that we're mixing with right now. So if we have a chance to go up, it would be once again, one of the most glorious days in the last 20 years. So I can't see how anybody would turn down a promotion because it would give us so many more memories that we'd remember for so long. Like, we'd go on about 2000 enough. So if we could experience that again, then that would be just incredible.
Yeah, that's getting to a point now where, yeah, it's great. It was a great time, Wembley, all that, the journey we had to go through. But like, oh, here you go, another anniversary of that great day. But it's like, you know, we want some new memories. And obviously last year was fantastic, good promote from League One. Finally, this year, obviously, he's had loads of different memories, different memorable games. But if we can do it, boys, that would be amazing. Have you got a day set, do you reckon, that Town could do it? Or will it go to the final day, Ben? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think it will. It's so tight because you've got four teams to go into two spaces. So realistically, it's going to go down to the final day for at least three of those teams, I think. There's a chance that it might not be that first position. That may well have gone one of the teams out of us. Leeds, Leicester, Southampton may now go on an incredible run and tie up the title before the last day. But I'd be actually really surprised if both automatic promotion places were already sorted going into that last day. Of course, one team, I'm sure, will have it in their hands and know they just need to win. Of course, it could be very interesting with Leeds playing Southampton on the last day of the season. But yeah, I can certainly see being a bun fight for the Huddersfield game, last game of the season. Hopefully a bit like Exeter, our last home game before Fleetwood. Hopefully a bit like that game. And look, who knows? It's just amazing for so many years of having absolutely bloody nothing to look forward to that you could look at your calendar and think, God, I can't go. I can't see the missus that day. Like, I've got to go and see Ipswich. I've got to get an away ticket to Hull. I've got to go to Hull on a Saturday. I can't miss that. I've got to go to Coventry. You know, all those sort of things are coming up now. You don't want to miss a breath. You don't want to miss a moment of this Ipswich Town side.
I've been asked to do stuff in May, and I've categorically said no to all of the plans of May. So my whole May is blocked off in case I need to make a spontaneous trip back.
Yeah, no weddings, no nothing.
No weddings, no holidays. It might just be Portman Road at home to Huddersfield or a date with Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, well, we've not been to New Wembley, have we? So if we don't get into the top two, hopefully we do have that playoff journey. And good thing here from David, word of wisdom. Sometimes a journey is better than a destination. Wise words there from David.
Particularly if you're travelling to Norwich, David.
Yes, definitely. And I've got a question here for you, Ben, from Bono. And it's about your plant. So let me just get his question up. Can you confirm? To your left, is it on your left?
Yeah, it's to my left. It's a green one. I don't even know where it's from. My wife got it. I like it though.
Yeah, just adds to it.
It's very nice. It feels artificial, but it definitely isn't. It does need a little water now and again. But it's just nice. Just changes things up in the house. Trying to keep it away from my 11-month son who keeps trying to climb it all the time and bashing his head into the pot, but.
We can tell who the interior designer is in your household then. Your wife.
Yeah. She got the shutters sorted and she got the shirts in as well.
I like the shutters. I like the shutters. I like them. I love that.
Is this Grand Designs or Callaway Podcast?
Yeah, we'll segue briefly. You know, it's what we cover all bases here. So hopefully that was nice. Obviously, a Friday, is it? Isn't it external? Or what's the called design thing? There's a show on a Friday.
No? You're talking to the wrong crowd, Ross. All I do is watch football.
Yeah, true that. So we'll move on. We'll swiftly move on, ladies and gentlemen. And we've got a nice little breather here, as always. It's time for the strike as the boys go head-to-head. 5 questions plus a tiebreaker. Get involved in the comments. 185 of you are joining us right now. So Friday Night Live, we're having a party. We're having a party right now. Get involved, ladies and gentlemen. Let us know. And it's James versus Ben and also the listeners and the viewers watching from home. And, of course, they're all linked up to February. February? What am I talking about? March? Been a long day, boys and girls. It's been a long day. But, yes, 5 questions on birthdays, bits and bobs. And the first question is an interesting one, ladies and gentlemen. Very interesting one. Byron Lawrence. Remember Byron Lawrence? Who was, I think, at one time, was the second youngest ever player for Town when he made his debut. I think that's been beaten by a few other players since then. But he played 1 game for Town and he made a debut in that game against Doncaster. 3-2 win. Ryan Stevenson scored an absolute screamer, if you remember. I mean, if you remember Ryan Stevenson, then fair play to you. But who did he replace in that game to make his debut? Was it J. Emmanuel Thomas, Ryan Stevenson, or Lee Martin? So Byron Lawrence has his birthday this week. I think he turns... How old do you reckon he is, boys? How old do you reckon he is? So his birthday on Tuesday. He's from Cambridge. So Cambridge boy, Ben?
I don't know him. I presume you... Was it Histon, I think, as a kid? I think. Anyway.
Histon.
How old do you think he is? 36.
I think much younger than that. I think if it's 2012, he would have been around 18, so 40. I reckon 30.
He's 28, just turned 28. So he's only recently come back from a really, really bad injury. So all the best to you, Byron. He's of course at Is it Newmarket? I think he's on maybe got a lot of dual registration with Ipswich Wanderers actually at the moment as well. So who did he replace to make his debut in that 3-2 win? Was it Jet, Ryan Stevenson, or Lee Martin? We've got a few answers in here. Lee Martin by Callie and Andy. But what? Oh, Martin as well from James.
Oh, and me. I'll put Lee Martin. It's a red pen, but there you go. Lee Martin.
There we go. Lee Martin.
Yeah. Wow. Both on the Martins.
And Dave has gone Lee Martin as well. And you're all wrong. It's actually J. Emmanuel Thomas. He replaced.
Well, they are both crap, so they're both deserved to come off by the
floor. There we go. So 0-0 going to question 2. And this man was not crap. He was a... Irish striker, scored loads of goals. Definitely in 1 season. That is Daryl Murphy, who celebrates his birthday today, actually. So happy birthday to Daryl, if you're watching. He'll listen back tomorrow, I'm sure, on his drive to wherever he's driving. But he's turned 41 today. Good old Daryl.
He's probably at Waterford. I'm pretty sure they've got a game tonight. So I think he's involved still there somehow.
I love that. Love to hear that. That's good. But how many goals did Daryl score for Town in 225 games? If you get it bang on, you get double the points. So an opportunity to take a 2-goal lead here, boys, if you get it bang on. But a few more. In fairness, Lee Martin should most likely have been subbed anyway. Fair enough. That's from Cali. Although I'm looking to do a podcast with Lee Martin, actually, to have a little chat with him. So
I've always liked him. Yeah. Really liked him, Ross.
Yeah. Easy, yeah. I'd be interested to just see get his insight. Mark's gone 47.
I definitely just had a random guess at this game. I don't know.
It's fine. I don't know if you do, course, Ben, but one really good season. Obviously,
the random guess game for me.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I actually need to get their answers up, actually, so I actually know. Let me quickly get the answers up, ladies and gentlemen.
I've written a number.
I like it. So Mark's
I've gone for 70.
Gone for 61.
Oh, nice little shirt as well. Quite
a big collar on that. Open neck number.
Very big. Love that. By the way, as well, we just hit 200 viewers. So, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show.
I think it's the day of one of these. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
What happens? 202 people joining us. Oh, if you're listening on your way to the game tomorrow.
Ross sounds like he's calling out the darts.
I am pretty much. 180! And Darren Murphy didn't score 180 goals, though. That would be a very good ratio. But he did score 67 goals. So James does get the point being the closest, but Ben, you were close, my friend, as well. Good effort.
Within three, that's pretty good.
Very good. Yeah, David went 64, Callie went 68. Callie was close. Andy went 72, so close answers there. Question three is on Tyrone Mings, who also celebrated his birthday, I think it was yesterday. Well, it could be today, actually. Double check. No, the 13th, so that was on Wednesday. He turned 31, Tyrone Mings. He's currently still on his way back from his long-term injury. He's been out for a while, so, you know, best to for Tyrone with his recovery. But, yeah, he scored one goal for Town in 63 games. But who was it against? Was it Birmingham City, Millwall or Sheffield Wednesday? Another clue here. It was a Town win. So there we go. That's all I'm going to give you for the time being. But who was it against? Of course, get involved. Let us know later.
I know this doesn't narrow it down, but I'm sure that it was a header from a corner.
It was?
And I'm sure I was there. But that doesn't help me at all to get
I think
answer.
He got dragged down for the celebration, I think, because, like, obviously he doesn't... That was his first ever goal for the club. I think he did score in pre-season once, but that's just pre-season. I don't know. I know technically he has scored for the club again, but that was in pre-season. This is a competitive goal. But, yeah, I think he scored from a corner with a header and then he got dragged down for the celebration. So I think it was a massive bundle. So, but yeah.
I'm surprised he's only played as few as 63 games. Just... We hold them in quite, I mean, I personally hold them in quite high regard as being like a really good Town player, and he was. But yeah, to only play 63 games.
If you think about it, he only actually had one full season because obviously he's
back up, wasn't he, for Cresswell?
Back up for Cresswell in 13-14, and then 14-15 is when he, you know, Cresswell went to West Ham, and that was Tyrone Mings' first full season, and obviously he then went to Bournemouth. So he never actually really.
Incredible.
So, yeah, 63 games, one goal.
All right. Ben, do you want to go?
Yeah, I'm just going to... I'll just say it because you've got yours written down. I'm guessing Birmingham City.
Okay. I put Millwall.
Ooh, Millwall. Got a few answers here. We've got Birmingham. Callie said, I believe that was his first professional goal. Yeah, because he obviously was at Chipman and Town before us, so it was always going to be his first professional goal. And yeah, David's gone Brummy, and it is Birmingham City. So Ben gets the point. A 4-2 win that was, by the way. So a lot of goals in that game. So yeah, love that. Hit it from a corner, if I remember correctly, as Andy said and as Ben said as well. So 1-1 going to question four. 210 people joining us. Love that. What squad number? This is the big one, boys and girls. And I think, let me just double check when his birthday was. It was yesterday. He turned 50, the big 5-0. A memorable Town player indeed, Mark Fish. What squad number did he wear in his one appearance for Town? Was it 12, 18 or 24? I don't think even... He played like 45 minutes, didn't he? Or something like that.
Yeah, so, way to Charlton, I think. 45 minutes.
QPR
was it, sorry. Infamous. He came from Charlton.
Yeah.
God, he was... I wasn't there. My dad was there, so it was dreadful. I mean, sure, it's got...
Happy 50th, Mark.
Yeah. Yes. I think he was actually, I think he was injured. He wasn't actually fully fit, I don't think. And then I think, yeah, obviously, yeah, not a great debut. And that was his final ever game, actually, professional football. I don't think he ever played a game again after that, if I remember rightly. Or I think he may have gone, actually, didn't he? I think he went back to South Africa, and I think he played maybe briefly there. But in terms of professional football, yeah, I don't think he ever played anywhere else. But yeah, I just thought, nice little question for Mark Fish as his 50th birthday. His one appearance. What was his squad number? Let me just quickly double check. Mark's gone 36. That's not an option, Mark.
Imagine if it was 36, though. He didn't give us an option.
I'm hoping I'm right. I'm just going to double check this. Maybe I'm wrong. Well,
I've written it down now.
I'm just going to double check just in case. Maybe Mark is right. Let me just have a little look.
We're also going to change one of the options and then say, do you want to guess again?
Yeah, maybe I've got the options wrong. I swear I put it in. Let me get up quickly. I think the season was 2005.
Anyway, Ben, what did you put then?
Oh, when it first came up, I thought it was 30 something. But obviously, I trust Ross to have got his research right. But I'm gonna wait for him to answer first.
Maybe I haven't got it right.
but none of those numbers that are on the screen actually scream out centre half. And around that time, I don't remember if he was in the side or not, but Darren Bent, I'm sure, wore 18 and Naylor had 12 for a long time. So I've written down 24 as just in terms of ticking them off.
Hmm.
for other people.
No, I've got it right. It's definitely not 36.
So I've gone 24, James. I went down.
18. I went 18 because, again, don't know much about Mark Fish and didn't know when he played.
We've got 18 from Cali, 24 from Andy. David's gone 18. Andy's gone, oh, was it 12? He's going 12. But a question or answer to the question is 18.
Ooh, James
gets the point. 223 joining us. Love that. Love that. It's good. Every time I look up, I'm like, yeah, going to say 224. So it's 2-1 going into the final question. And it's on another Irishman. This time it's Colin Healy. Remember the man who dinked the ball over to Tamás Priskin for that goal? Honestly, I think that's the first time me and Ben actually met.
What a night that was.
Historic.
And then
I had to convince my parents to let me go to that game because it was a day before one of my A-level exams.
A mock exam, surely, no?
No, it was January, wasn't it? So I had proper exams in January as well. So it was definitely a real exam. And some of my friends weren't allowed to go because their parents were not as forgiving. And we tease them to this day.
Exams in January. Do you go to private school? Is that how you're a high flyer?
No, I did not. My schooling was not paid for.
Scholarship.
I went to a state school. Thank you very much.
There you go.
It's absolutely fine if you go to a private school, though. There's no problem with it.
No, not at all. Not at all. I don't know if Colin Healy went to a private school. I don't know. I doubt he did. Because, he's a footballer. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this. But Colin Healy, obviously, joined town from which Irish side? Was it Cork City, Dundalk, or Shelbourne? Am I saying that right, Ben? Dundalk?
Well, it depends. Dundalk? But I think it's Dundalk. We say Dundalk. In England, we don't have an Irish accent, so
no, true, they may say it differently, but he joined town off. I think he was in England and then he went back to Ireland and then we signed him. I think it was, of course, Roy Keane signed him. So he was at Celtic, then went to Sunderland, then went to Livingston, then Barnsley, then went back to this club, and then he went back to which
one? Oh, thought you were going to give it away.
I literally did actually. I was like, I literally said it, but I stopped myself. So, but yeah. Really, what do you reckon?
And Ben, use those Irish connections.
I've gone for Cork.
Unfortunately for you, Ben, I've also gone for Cork. So whether we're right or wrong,
it is Cork City.
Anyone else? An extra point for the accent, Ross.
You get a 0.5. You get like a half point.
My wife, who is Irish, has just burst into the room with a look of absolute disdain.
What are you doing? Yeah, just say to her you have just lost a quiz, so maybe that will.
I didn't get a bonus point.
No, not yet. Depends if I gamble or not. I do not have that.
No, we do. We do have one. I think this is a really interesting one as well. This is an interesting. I think we may have done this question before, but it was ages ago, and I can't. I don't think you remember. But we have a tiebreaker. Are we gonna gamble, James? You have one.
I am gonna gamble. I'm gonna put my victory on the line.
Ooh.
For a gamble.
Ooh. Of course, gamble responsibly and all that. Of course. All right, tiebreaker time, and ladies and gentlemen, let's see what the question is. And it's on Clive Baker, the goalie for the 90s.
Clive Baker, the only keeper we've had who could get lobbed when he was on his line.
Yeah.
I think Dean Saunders did that at Villa Park in the early 90s. It's so embarrassing looking back. Check it. YouTube it, kids.
YouTube it, yeah. Obviously, of course, Clive was a former Norwich player as well. I think he never won who crossed the divide. But how many clean sheets did Clive Baker keep in 48 Premier League games for Town? I think he played 60-odd games in total, but in terms of Premier League appearances, 48. Because that's the best way I can find stats for clean sheets. I couldn't be asked through the league, other league cup games and stuff. But 48 games, of course, Ben has to get it bang on, James, to take the victory. How many clean sheets... What do you reckon?
Because I gambled, that means that we draw if he gets it right.
If he gets a bang on, because what's the scores on the doors going into
3-2?
3-2. So yeah, if he gets bang on, he gets 2 points, so he wins overall.
All right. Do your worst, Ben.
Okay. The only one I can really remember, I think he was there. It was Norwich away, 2-0. Neil Thompson sealed the deal. If I call me head, I was there that night, my first derby. Love, absolutely just great memories. So that's one. So it's definitely one. Don't remember much else. Going to say 11, Ross.
11. Ooh.
What do you reckon, James? I've gone for the balmy number of 12.
Ooh, 12.
Ooh.
Wow. In total, we actually conceded 71 goals in 48 Premier League games. Is that a lot?
That's probably yes.
Not. Sounds quite a lot.
Yeah. Not. Obviously, he wasn't in goal for the Man United game, obviously.
What's that, 1.8 a game or something like that? 1.7 a game, around that sort of figure?
Yeah, not great. Mark's gone 15, Andy's gone 10, Caddy's gone 14. 235 people watching. Love that, ladies and gentlemen, love that. The correct answer, and you guys are so close. So close. David's gone 24. Good morning from Sydney. Ben Southgate. Just thought I'd bring him up straight away. Got to. Well wide, obviously. New York, Sydney, Dublin. Need a market. Shout out to you, Andy. But yeah. The answer to this question is 13.
Oh, well played, James.
James is the closest, and he has won overall. Good battle. Good battle. I enjoyed that battle.
That was good. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that episode of the strike.
Very good indeed. It's good questions, different players.
Some random good questions, he says himself, asking them.
I put them together. You know, Byron Lawrence, Torrey Mings.
No middle name question, so that was much appreciated.
I like to mix it up. So there we go, ladies and gentlemen. Another strike in the bag. Well done, James, for winning. And it's time now, as we've got to the 41 minute and 45 second mark, let's look ahead to Sheffield Wednesday, boys. Last game before the international break. And a very different team to when we played them back in September. A very different team from when they were in December, because they've gone on. I think they've won five games in the last seven games, so a different team. They've got a younger manager than us, Danny Rawl. He's only 34, which is mad. Madness. But yeah, opening thoughts, James. How are you feeling for this one? Obviously, we battled in League One. They were running away with it, weren't they, in League One? And then they went, mate, that is a disaster. And obviously, us and Plymouth pipped them to the top two. But yeah, opening thoughts for this one.
Yeah, it's been a two contrasting seasons, really, between us and them, considering we were so close to each other and so competitive with each other last season. And it does kind of show what all of the experts were saying in League One, that we were a championship side in waiting. So I think my thoughts probably are it would have been an absolute travesty if we didn't come up last season, based on how we've done this season. And quite a lot of our squad might have been ripped apart if we didn't get promoted last season. So actually turning to this game, being back at Portman Road, you're thinking there's been a bit of a pattern going on. Goals at both ends at Portman Road, whereas away, they've tried to keep it shut up shop a little bit more. So I think you can lump on the both teams to score if you are of a gambling nature. I think that's a pretty safe bet. I'm going to back us. We're the team at the top of the league. I know they've been on good form, but you've just got to think that if we do have those aspirations that we were talking about earlier in the pod about getting promoted automatically, these are the games you definitely need to win. And as Ben was saying, the home form will be imperative.
Yeah. Back up Fortress Portman Road, Ben. Opening thoughts for this one before we get into the nuts and bolts of Wednesday as a team and all that jazz?
Yeah, first thoughts are the same. It's a home game. You've got to, as McKenna always says, we'll go and attack it. You know, we'll play our way. I know we'll go into the team and our thoughts on that in a little bit. So I just think the same. Your Wednesday have had a remarkable turnaround. They looked absolutely dead and buried sort of November time. I think everyone would have written them off, and even Rotherham, I think, you know, obviously we were above them at the time in the table, and, you know, they've completely slid to the bottom of the league and out of sight from the rest of the league now in a negative way. But Wednesday have got a very good chance of staying up. It's incredibly tight down there. They'll be fighting for everything, fighting for their lives, as the old footballing saying goes, which is, by the way, absolutely bloody ridiculous, not fighting for their lives. But they are a team who play very well to their strengths. Obviously, you've got a fantastic striker in Agbo, who's in superb form. So, you know, he's the man who's going to be their main target in every attack. But it's going to be an interesting game. It'll be interesting to see how much they put us under pressure, how much they'll come and maybe sit back and go for a point, or will they come for 3 points because it's so tight down there and, you know, every win is so important at both ends of the table. Obviously, I would prefer that they come and attack us because it'll be a much more enjoyable game. And I think from an Ipswich Town point of view, it'll be an easier game to handle and see us on top a little bit easier. But it's more likely it'll be a game like the Bristol City game, maybe tactical. You know, Danny Rule's a very good coach and doing that fantastic job. He will sit back, I think, you know, press us from the front when needs be, but they won't all just plummet forward. I think they'll be like play to set pieces, make it niggly and nasty, waste time. So we need to be patient. We need to keep behind the team. And it's still a game I look forward to. We're fantastic at home and I still back us to win, Ross.
Lovely, Aaron. We'll get on to our predictions shortly and our first goal scorers and all that. David's gone, the last five wins have been against bottom seven teams, Ross, which is true, but you've got to still win those games. Sometimes they're the tougher ones to win, definitely when you're fighting against a relegation, a rival, you've got to win those. Andy's gone with his prediction early. We'll get on to that shortly. David's also gone. It's going to be a tougher game than some people think. And I'll get on to his prediction shortly. But yeah, James.
I've got a question, actually, if you don't mind me posing it. Do you think we could ever do an away-style performance, like a Plymouth-esque performance at home? Because we haven't really seen that at all this season. Maybe Leicester at home was a little bit more like that. I know we didn't win that. But there's just been so many goals at Portman Road. And I was trying to watch us in some of our away games. And we still push up our fullbacks. Like, it doesn't seem like we're being that much more defensively minded and sitting in. So maybe it's just down to the opposition. But I just wondered if Ross or Ben, like, you thought we would be able to deliver like a professional. I mean, we had done. We beat Hull 3-0 and Millwall to 0 as well. But yeah, just we haven't seen that a lot this season at Portman Road.
Yeah, we conceded that sloppy goal, didn't we, at the end against Millwall. It was 3-1. I think, annoyingly, that was that cross that came in and header. But yeah, I know what you mean, James. I think at home, with the pitch that we've got now, we play a certain brand of football that I think when you go away to Home Park, when you go away to, well, we've got Hull, we've got a terrible pitch later in the season, you do have to mix it up and play a bit differently. I touched on this quite a bit at the end of last season when we were going through that niggly patch like Bristol Rovers away. I do think the way McKenna plays, the pitch is absolutely vital. And I think McKenna and Ashton alluded to that point in their really good interview with Town TV about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I don't think it's any coincidence that run of form that we had to get promoted from League One. We just wiped the floor with teams at home because we had that slick surface. The weather's better. The sun gets on the pitch. It's easier to look after. And obviously now we've got the fantastic new pitch. There's not so much of a problem in the winter months. So I just think the way we play football, you have to play that way at home on our fantastic pitch. And yes, the opposition are going to come and make it difficult for us. And I just hope tomorrow that that's not going to matter. And, you know, we just get the 3 points.
Yeah, I just think Kieran McKenna just wants to entertain the crowd, I think. I think that's what he wants, that free-flowing football and just end-to-end action. Obviously, he probably doesn't want us to concede the amount of goals we have conceded this year. But that's just what happens when you play this sort of football we play. So, yeah, it would be nice just a few more clean sheets. But I'm sure, you know, Vaz would love more clean sheets. I think the Sunderland game, even though, you know, we won 2-1, didn't we? But I felt that was a good way to end that game. I think we were, you know, just defended pretty well and we kept that win. I think that was a cracking night under lights.
But yeah, that was like one of our only wins in our, like, the sticky patch in like over Christmas and stuff. And yeah, I thought we did a good job that day.
Yeah, definitely.
It's one of the two games I'd seen in person this year, so it was great to see a win.
Definitely, yeah, always good. Shall we talk about the team then boys, that players? Some big question marks on different players, potentially starters and all that sort of stuff. Massimo Luongo, of course, playing against his former side. Obviously, George Harris won't be playing, but it's always good when former players play each other, play former clubs, obviously. But have you got a team in mind, boys? You've got a starting 11 that you've sort of flashed out and you've gone, yeah, I want them to start. Anything in particular? James, go with you, my friend. Anybody?
I think our best team starting, our best starting side is still Broadhead, Chaplin, Burns as the three in behind Kiefer Moore. I think that Amari Hutchinson has done fantastic off the bench. I think Sarmiento also does fantastic off the bench. But if you're picking the players to start at home, I think you want the three Welsh lads and Chaplin in the attacking positions. I don't know if Ben agrees with that, to focus on the attack for now, and then we can talk about the defence after.
Yeah, I agree. I was just going to say that I think if Broadhead's fit, he starts the game, basically, particularly at home. Nathan Broadhead loves Portman Road. And Burns, before getting that that calf strain, calf or groin, couldn't remember. Anyway, it was a strain, muscle strain, was on fire, wasn't he? Really looking like the Wes Burns that we love to see, that's exciting us running down that right wing. So hopefully he'll tear Johnson apart tomorrow, get in behind them, whether he plays a left back or left wing back. He won't be able to cope with Wes. You know, he's a good player, Johnson. He's a solid League One player. He's doing obviously quite well at the Championship level, but he won't be
linked with him, weren't we? Yes,
we got linked with him. Yeah, we got linked with him, and I can understand why, with his attacking capabilities, for a season or 18 months, but he won't be able to keep up with Wes, and it won't be to the Blessing Peltier, who in the Rotherham game was 37 years old, and I felt sorry for him that night. Well, not really, but yeah, I think that's where the game could be won in the first half. You know, when we try and get out of the traps quickly, if Wes can get in behind there. We do so well at that, and Broadhead on the other side, his trickery against Palmer. I can see Palmer and Johnson probably going into the book tomorrow. But yeah, that attacking front four picks itself, I think, as James pretty much said.
Right here, and we've got a big question here for you, James, to tackle. Mark Wall's gone. I'll drop Luongo and start Travis. Thoughts on that, my friend?
Travis has shown some good qualities since he's been in, but I think they are more of a needs must qualities. It would still be more Morsey and Luongo for me. I think they are a good engine room. I think Luongo hasn't had necessarily his best form, like when he's been in the starting lineup, but I still think it's those two for me. I just thought Taylor did okay, but I definitely would. It's still Morsey and Luongo in the two sitting roles for me. I think they've built this partnership together, and I think they will be the ones that can. Morsey especially really drags us through games when we're in a bit of a sticky patch, and I really think they complement each other well.
Mm. And Andy's gone. Luongo has not been in form since his illness, looked way off of sorts. Obviously, we've had a lot of travelling. I know. Every team has that, but that does take a lot out of you. Even like, I'm sure fans even going to like, this does take out of you, you know, going to Plymouth, going to Cardiff and stuff like that. And to actually go and play 90 minutes of football. Oh yeah, it should be interesting.
They've had a week off. So you do think, yeah. You do hope that is
shaked off a little bit.
Kind of given a rest. We've had quite an intense period of games. So fingers crossed that gives them a rest. But yeah, I think that's one of the, like, it's a position that we do have depth in now. So there's definitely an option there.
Yeah. Should we talk about defence? Obviously, that's a big talking point, especially the last few games conceding goals. Obviously, there's a big talking point. Maybe George Emerson, does he deserve to come back into the team? But who does he replace? And, you know, Harry Clark, does Axel Twanzabe go back at right back? What do you reckon, boys? We've got a few starting 11s. I asked a few people for different starting 11s. We've got David here. This is his starting 11 for the game. He's put Travis in. He's starting Clark, Wolford and Burgess, Chaplin, Burns, Moore. Broadhead. Ben, what do you reckon, my friend? What are you going with in terms of the back four?
A bit like Luongo, really. And, you know, McKenna's got his most trusted players. I think Mass will definitely get another chance tomorrow. Everybody's right what they're saying. He hasn't looked quite on the form that we expect. And we don't see the data on the training pitch. They've had a whole full week of training, unless something has gone on and whether he's just not quite at it. You know, McKenna's got a fantastic brain, a football brain. He'll be able to see with the sports science guys as well the best if Mass is ready to start. If he is, then he's ready and look forward to a good performance from him. Wolf, Ian Burgess, again, that's his chosen partnership. I said exactly like Morsey and Luongo in the middle of the field. I'd be very surprised if that was broken up. I know we can see these goals, but we are very much the way we defend. We defend as a team. It's not just labelled at our centre-halves or our full-backs, particularly not our full-backs. We play them almost as wingers, particularly Leaf. Obviously, Leaf is absolutely nailed on, one of my first names on the team sheet. Halaki the same at the moment. Clark and Twanzabi. Twanzabi's very unlucky not to have stayed in the side. I know he had that run of games and maybe needed a rest. And I think, again, in a home game, I think it's just more likely that Clark is going to play in terms of with his attacking capabilities. I don't think Wednesday have got anybody in particular, sort of like a big beast they're going to put on the left wing, and that Clark needs to be physical. You know, he might out-muscle him, whereas Axel would obviously come into play in that respect. I think just he's the bigger player. So I think it would be the back four we expect with Lackey in goal. I don't think he's going to change it unless, to say, something's gone on in the training ground we don't know about.
Yeah, we shall wait and see. Obviously, 2 p.m. when the big graphic comes up and we see the team. Kelly's gone for this back four, which is, well, back five or five defence anyway, with a goalie. Very interesting, this. Holy, Spence, Chambers, Yorworth and Ward. Stephen Ward, I assume, not Grant Ward. That scares me, that one. That does scare me, that. I don't think we want that at all.
Look how far we've come.
We never go back to those days.
No. I never want to go back to that transfer window, summer transfer window, where we only signed three players. David Cornell, Stephen Ward and Ollie Hawkins. No offence to them, lads, but that is an underwhelming summer transfer window. And then I think the next window in the summer, was that, I think it was that 19, it must have been the 19 Paul Cook's summer season. It must have been that one. I think it was that one. So what a transition that was from 3 to 19.
Was the three players, or there's one transfer window where we unveiled a triple signing and it was the most underwhelming. Yeah, most underwhelming triple signing you could ever have. I can't even remember who the players were, but
That was those three. David Cornell, Ollie Hawkins, and Stephen Ward.
Sorry, my video cut out when you mentioned the players'
name.
Fine. So.
That's fine. But yeah, as Callie said, look at our bench now. You know, we bring Sarmiento, Hutchison, Ali Hamadi. Before it was Hawkins and Drynan. Although he won't be happy with you, Callie. That is his boy, Aaron Drynan. He scored the back-to-back game for Swindon, Aaron Drynan, in League Two. But yeah, there we go. That is the starting lineup we've put in mind. It's time, though, for predictions, boys. What do you reckon? Can Town get back to winning ways? And obviously, you know, we were on a fantastic 7-game unbeaten run, 6 of those wins. Obviously, Town will want to get back to winning ways. What do you reckon, James, Ben? Let me know. First goal scorer as well.
Go on, Ben.
I'm going to go Wes Burns 4-1 Ipswich. I'm not usually that. I'm not one of those people that predicts outrageous score lines. So it's not outrageous, but sometimes it's just some, you know, you think we're gonna put down a marker, we're going to put down a statement. And I know there's one way of thinking that Wednesday will make it difficult for us and it could be a tight game and it might be the odd goal in it. But I just think it can go the other way. If we get a couple of early goals, Wednesday still, I mean, their team compared to last year is a completely new team apart from 3 or 4 players. You know, very, very different. And I just think once they got on, I mean, Leeds last week when they went ahead, Wednesday were absolutely out of it. They didn't even look like getting it. The longer the game goes on, 0-0 will struggle. So if we can get an early goal, that's what I'm hoping from Wes. Wes to score before 15 minutes, 4-1 Ipswich. Let's hope and pray I'm right.
Oh, I love to see that. Got a few other predictions. Callie's gone 3-0 Town. Clark or Wolfie, first goal score. A bit rogue, that. Like to see it. Andy's gone 2-1. I should be bringing these actually up. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Let me bring up. There's Andy's gone for a 2-1. Chaplin and Moore to score. James, what is your scores on the doors, my friend, and first goal scorer?
Well, as I said when I was introducing what I think is going to happen, we love a good goal fest at Portman Road. I think the 3-2 seems to be one of the most popular scores at Portman Road this year. Well, yeah, I seem to think 3-2's happened quite a bit. And I think it'll be 3-2 again. I think it will be one of those performances where it's like we outplay them. It should be a 3-0 or a 3-1. But unfortunately, the way we play, especially at home, will mean we do leak a couple of goals. So it might be one of those ones where it's 3-1 for a lot of it, feels quite comfortable, and then we concede at the end, which has happened before. But I think we'll get the win. I think there'll be goals, and we're going to win 3-2.
Whoa, goal fest at Portland Road once again. I'm trying to think what I said on the main pod, prediction-wise. Maybe I did go 2-1, I think.
Yeah, I think you said Chaplin, didn't you? First goal
Chaplin, 2-1, yeah. So, yeah, I'll take that, ladies and gentlemen. Take that, 2-1.
Kiefer Moore for me. Can't look past him at the moment. I don't think he's amazing in every game. Oh, sorry, Ben, you're on mute.
He's so big, it's difficult to look past him anyway. He's just so big, isn't he? Like, when I see him on the telly, and his shoulders are bloody massive. Looks like he's got a coat hanger in his shirt.
I was in a group chat with some of my friends that I went to school with, and I was about to message Kiefer Moore's touch has been awful, like, today, and this was last Saturday, just as he scored. So it was half written. I did not think he was having a particularly effective game. Then you can just pull out something like that. So, you know, he has pure quality now. He has become a very accomplished individual.
Yeah, is it 6 goals in 9 games? So that is a pretty good return from good old Kiefer, obviously. Congrats to all the players who have been called up to their international respective countries, which is good, although I think it's not that many. Obviously, Egypt just not calling up Sam Morsi, which is ridiculous. I think Alihah Hamadi's not gone to with Iraq. I think Sarmiento, as though, has been called up to Ecuador, which is good to see. Obviously, the Welsh lads, Burgess with Australia. So the thing is, we always say, just hope there's no injuries. So
you got to really hope Wales go and win it, go and win their playoff, because in that situation, you would think that the players will come back with such a renewed, buoyed sense of energy and motivation to go and achieve something similar with their club. Whereas you feel like missing out on the playoffs for Wales and losing, they might come back and might be difficult to focus again.
Yeah, hopefully not. Hopefully they get through and all that sort of stuff. Well, my boys, I think that's it in terms of Sheffield Wednesday preview. Is there anything else you want to mention? We've got to over the hour mark, but I think it's been a nice flowing show. We've had some great input. We've had some great listeners, which is good to see, and viewers. But Ben, any other business?
Yeah, just finish on just anybody that's listening to come to the game tomorrow, and those that are further afield, again, just stressing how much fun it is to support this team, but we just have to get behind them, keep cheering them. I know the players and managers come out and say it all the time. That's an obvious thing for them to say. But if it is frustrating tomorrow, if it is 0-0 or 1-0 down, we can make a difference. And I just think that's always important. And Portman Road, when it's rocking, is absolutely fantastic. But when it's a little bit quiet, it makes it harder for the players. So, yeah, sorry if you hear me in the North Stand up tomorrow. But I just, I just think we've all got to get behind this team and just enjoy these last 9 games because it's a very long summer.
Indeed, it is indeed. And Ben, other Ben here, if Burgess doesn't get injured on Saturday, I'll be going to watch him in Sydney next Thursday, hoping to meet him in my town shirt. So Ben, if you do, send us a picture across and that'd be great to see. I know we've got a lot of Australian listeners and obviously a lot of Australian town fans. So big shout out to all of you in Oz. Andy said, I'll be there since he got older for 36 years. Good up, Andy. Big up to you, my friend. But James, all the way from New York City, my friend, any other business?
Yeah, just the last one on how connected I feel with the club still, which is really good from like the club's point of view and just in general, keeping their fan base engaged. It's obviously so much easier when you're doing exceptionally well and people, even outside, people that have never heard of Ipswich Towns, like come and talk to me and be like, oh, Ipswich doing well in the one below the Premier League. But I think it's testament to all the good content that gets put out, whether it's Town TV, whether it's the KOA, like so much great stuff going around. And that makes me feel really connected. I can watch basically all the games live being abroad. And feel really glad to be part of this club and the journey that it's on right now.
Top man. Funny enough, we're going to back to back New York town fans, because I've also got your good friend Nick joining me next week on the Fan Social. Lovely. I was hoping to get you guys together as a New York duo again, but unfortunately not is unavailable. But Ben from good old Cambridgeshire has joined us, so that's good to see. But yeah, next week I'll be joined by Nick and someone else, so I'll let you know. But it's been great to bring you the first ever Kings of Anglia Fan Social on a Friday night. It's been a nice way to spend our Friday night. But yeah, James, Ben, thanks for joining me. If you're going to the game, enjoy. If not, follow the coverage as always with us online, in the paper and all that sort of stuff. And we'll be back for another Fan Social next week. Obviously, it's international break, so we'll be bringing you some maybe different features and all that jazz. Of course, big shout out to our sponsors, Manscaped. Use code KOA to get 20% off. Lee said 50% there. No, just 20%. That's enough, though. at checkout, free delivery, manscaped.com. Check it out. Also follow us on all our socials, Kings of Anglia. Check James and Ben on socials as well. And yeah, Cully, thanks very much. Great show, everyone's saying. Love to see that. And we're going to end the stream. Yeah?
Morsey and McKenna's men, we're going up again.
Oh, yeah, well, that sounds better. I said when I heard that in Cardiff, it didn't work well. But now it's grown on me. These charts grow.
It's happening. It's happening. It's going to be ringing around Portman Road tomorrow as well.
Oh, bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on.
Come on. Let's do it.
Well, thanks everyone for listening and watching. Bye bye for now. Let's do this.